Akhenaten, Pharaoh of the 18th dynasty of ancient Egypt. Akhenaten, meaning living spirit of Aten, known before the 5th year of his reign as Amenhotep IV, sometimes given its Greek form, Amenophis IV, and meaning Amun is satisfied, was a pharaoh of the 18th dynasty of Egypt who ruled for 17 years and died perhaps in 1336 BC or 1334 BC. He is especially noted for abandoning traditional Egyptian polytheism and introducing worship centered on the Aten, which is sometimes described as monotheistic or henotheistic. An early inscription likens him to the sun as compared to stars, and later official language avoids calling the Aten a god, giving the solar deity a status above mere gods. He was born to Amenhotep III and his chief queen Tyi and was their younger son. Akhenaten was not originally designated as the successor to the throne until the untimely death of his older brother, Thutmose. Amenhotep IV succeeded his father after Amenhotep III's death at the end of his 38-year reign, possibly after a short Korjenki lasting between either 1 to 2 years. Pharaoh Akhenaten was known as the Heretic King. He was the 10th king of the 18th dynasty. Egyptologists are still trying to figure out what actually happened during his lifetime as much of the truth was buried after he died. Akhenaten lived at the peak of Egypt's imperial glory. Egypt had never been richer, more powerful, or more secure. Up and down the Nile, workers built hundreds of temples to pay homage to the gods. They believed that if the gods were pleased, Egypt would prosper. And so it did. Family. Amenhotep III and Queen Tyi. Akhenaten and his family lived in the great religious center of Thebes, city of the god Amun. There were thousands of priests who served the gods. Religion was the business of the time, many earning their living connected to the worship of the gods. All indications are that as a child Akhenaten was a family outcast. Scientists are studying the fact that Akhenaten suffered from a disease called Marfan syndrome, a genetic defect that damages the body's connective tissue. Symptoms include short torso, long head, neck, arms, hand and feet, pronounced collarbones, pot belly, heavy thighs, and poor muscle tone. Those who inherit it are often unusually tall and are likely to have weakened aortas that can rupture. They can die at an early age. If Akhenaten had the disease, each of his daughters had a 50-50 chance of inheriting it. That is why his daughters are shown with similar symptoms. Akhenaten was the son of Amenhotep III and Queen Tyi, a descendant of a Hebrew tribe. The largest statue in the Cairo Museum shows Amenhotep III and his family. He and Queen Tyi, pronounced T, had 4 daughters and 2 sons. Akhenaten's brother, Thutmose, was later named High Priest of Memphis. The other son, Amenhotep IV, later to take the name Akhenaten, seemed to be ignored by the rest of the family. He never appeared in any portraits and was never taken to public events. He received no honors. It was as if the god Amun had excluded him. He was rejected by the world for some unknown reason. He was never shown with his family nor mentioned on monuments. Yet his mother favored him. In 1352 BC, Akhenaten ascended the throne, succeeding his father Amenhotep III who had died. Akhenaten was just a teenager at the time, but it was the desire of Queen Tyi that he rule. In some version of the story, it is written that father and son shared the throne briefly. Akhenaten's reign lasted 16 years. This was a difficult time in Egyptian history. Many scholars maintain that Akhenaten was responsible for this decline, but evidence suggests that it had already started. Akhenaten is principally famous for his religious reforms, where the polytheism of Egypt was to be supplanted by monotheism centered around Aten, the god of the solar disk. This was possibly a move to lessen the political power of the priests. Now the pharaoh, not the priesthood, was the sole link between the people and Aten, which effectively ended the power of the various temples. Akhenaten built a temple to his god Aten immediately outside the east gate of the Temple of Amun at Karnak, but clearly the coexistence of the two cults could not last. He therefore proscribed the cult of Amun, closed the god's temples, took over the revenues. He then sent his officials around to destroy Amun's statues and to desecrate the worship sites. These actions were so contrary to the traditional that opposition arose against him. The estates of the great temples of Thebes, Memphis, and Heliopolis reverted to the throne. Corruption grew out of the mismanagement of such large levies. Nefertiti. Akhenaten's chief wife was Nefertiti, made world famous by the discovery of her exquisitely molded and painted bust, now displayed in the Altes Museum of Berlin, and among the most recognized works of art surviving from the ancient world. Queen Nefertiti is often referred to in history as the most beautiful woman in the world. The Berlin bust, seen from two different angles, is indeed the most famous depiction of Queen Nefertiti. Found in the workshop of the famed sculptor Thutmose, the bust is believed to be a sculptor's model. The technique, which begins with a carved piece of limestone, requires the stone core to be first plastered and then richly painted. Flesh tones on the face give the bust life. Her full lips are enhanced by a bold red. Although the crystal inlay is missing from her left eye, both eyelids and brows are outlined in black. Her graceful elongated neck balances the tall, flat-top crown which adorns her sleek head. The vibrant colors of her necklace and crown contrast the yellow-brown of her smooth skin. While everything is sculpted to perfection, the one flaw of the piece is a broken left ear. Because this remarkable sculpture is still in existence, it is no wonder why Nefertiti remains the most beautiful woman in the world. Nefertiti's origins are confusing. It has been suggested to me that Ty was also her mother. Another suggestion is that Nefertiti was Akhenaten's cousin. Her wet nurse was the wife of the vizier I, who could have been Ty's brother. I sometimes called himself the god's father, suggesting that he might have been Akhenaten's father-in-law. However, I never specifically refers to himself as the father of Nefertiti, although there are references that Nefertiti's sister, Mutnojam, is featured prominently in the decorations of the tomb of I. We will never know the truth of this bloodline. Perhaps they didn't know either. This shrine stela, also from the early part of the Amarna period, depicts Akhenaten, Nefertiti, and princesses Mirtaten, Makiaten, and Ankhesenpaten worshipping the Aten as a family. Dorothea Arnold, in her article Aspects of the Royal Female Image During the Amarna Period, discusses the plethora of reliefs depicting intimate family moments. While Akhenaten leans forward to give Mirtaten a kiss, Makiaten plays on her mother's lap and gazes up lovingly. At the same time, Ankhesenpaten, the smallest, sits on Nefertiti's shoulder and fiddles with her earring. Arnold claims that the shrine stela relates to the Aten religion's concept of creation, in which the king and queen are viewed as a primeval first pair. At the top of the composition, the sun god, Aten, represented by a raised circle, extends his life-giving rays to the royal family. The relief uses the concept of the window of appearances, or a snapshot of life. The figures are framed by a fictive structure which suggests the form of a square window. Aldert, in his book Egyptian Art, calls this a brief moment in the lives of five beings as they are caught in an act of mutual affection. In actuality, the royal palace at Akhetaten had a window from which the royal couple could observe the city and address their subjects. It is accepted that Akhenaten and Nefertiti had six daughters. No son was ever shown in reliefs. The names of the daughters were Meritaten, 1349 BC, Mikataten and Ankhenspaten, 1346 BC, Nefernefruaten, 1339 BC, Nefernefruar and Setapenra, 1338. In 1337 BC, the official family, with all six of Nefertiti's daughters, was shown for the last time. In 1336 BC, Mikataten died in childbirth. In 1335, Nefertiti seemed to vanish, assumed dead. This limestone relief found in the royal tomb at Amarna depicts Akhenaten, Nefertiti, and two of their daughters making an offering to the sun Disketen. Akhenaten and Nefertiti carry flowers to be laid on the table beneath the life-giving rays of the Aten. The figures are carved in the grotesque style, a characteristic of the early half of the Amarna period. Nefertiti, sporting the double plume headdress mentioned in the stela dedication, is the petite figure placed behind her larger-scale husband. The composition mirrors early artistic representations of the royal couple. To emphasize the strength and power of the pharaoh, Egyptian iconographical tradition required the female figure to be smaller in scale than the male. Akhenaten's minor wives included Meritaten, same name as his daughter, Kia, Mikaitaten, same name as his daughter, and Ankhesenpaten, same name as his daughter. Queen Nefertiti. Akhenaten's vision. It was said that one day Akhenaten had a vision wherein he saw a sun disk between two mountains. He felt that God was guiding him to make change. He was shown the god, Aten, as the sun disk, the light. He felt guided by Aten to build a city between the two mountains. In the sixth year of his reign, Akhenaten rejected the gods of Thebes. They were never part of his childhood anyway, since he had been shunned as a child. Akhenaten had declared for the first time in recorded history that there was only one god, the concept of monotheism. Overnight he turned 2,000 years of Egyptian religious upside down. Amarna. Tempe of the Aten. Amarna is an extensive Egyptian archaeological site that represents the remains of the capital city newly established and built by the pharaoh Akhenaten of the late 18th dynasty, circa 1353 BC, and abandoned shortly afterwards. The name for the city employed by the ancient Egyptians is written as Akhetaten, or Akhetaten, transliterations vary, in English transliteration. Akhetaten means horizon of the Aten. The area is located on the east bank of the Nile River in the modern Egyptian province of Minya, some 58 kilometers, 36 miles, south of the city of Al-Minya, 312 kilometers, 194 miles, south of the Egyptian capital Cairo and 402 kilometers, 250 miles, north of Luxor. The site of Amarna includes several modern villages, chief of which are El Til in the north and El Hakkandil in the south. The area was also occupied during later Roman and early Christian times. Excavations to the south of the city have found several structures from this period. Amarna was never a lost city. It lay as a visible ruin close to the Nile and close to inhabited villages. It was recognized as an ancient city by the French military expedition sent to Egypt by Napoleon Bonaparte in 1798. They made a rapid sketch plan before passing on. During the 19th century, more detailed and more accurate plans were made by European scholars. Their maps of the central parts of the city are surprisingly detailed in view of the fact that, as yet, no archaeological excavation had taken place. The explanation is likely to be that many walls had been recently exposed by people from the villages digging into the ancient remains to look for treasure and also to remove bricks for reuse. Nevertheless, the outline of the city and the limits of the cultivated land have not changed greatly in the century and a half that has since passed. In 1824 and 1826, the English Egyptologist Sir John Gardner Wilkinson visited Amarna and made the sketch plan in pencil of the central area. The many numbers written on the plan are the numbers of his paces, which he used as a means of measuring distances. The result is remarkably accurate. The original map is now in the Bodleian Library, Oxford. The most thorough of the pre-modern plans of Amarna was made by the Prussian expedition of K.R. Lepsius, who visited Amarna in the 1840s. The main improvement over the map of Wilkinson is the inclusion of most of the residential part of the city to the south of the central city, an area which Wilkinson only roughly indicated. Between 1979 and 1988, the city was remapped by Barry Kemp and Salvatore Garfi. The series of 8 map sheets and accompanying volume of text are published as B.J. Kemp and S. Garfi, A Survey of the Ancient City of El Amarna, London, Egypt Exploration Society 1993. Wanting to make a complete break, Akhenaten and Nefertiti left Thebes behind, and following the guidance of his god Aten, he moved his family 180 miles north, to a site known as El Amarna. There, in the desert, he established his new religion by building an entire city dedicated to Aten, complete with a necropolis and royal tomb. In 1346 BC, work began on this new city built in Middle Egypt, on a site thought to have been chosen as it was not tainted by the worship of the other gods. In 1344 BC, the central section of Akhetaten was completed. Nefertiti's prominent role in Egyptian royal rule and religious worship reflects her influence in the public sphere. During the early years of her royal reign, Nefertiti, as part of her religious conversion, changed her name. Nefertiti, which means the beautiful one is come, became Neferneferuaten Nefertiti, or the Aten as radiant of radiance because the beautiful one is come. A different interpretation of the name change translated Neferneferuaten to mean perfect one of the Aten's perfection. Ancient Egyptian woman with 70 hair extensions discovered live science, September 17, 2014. More than 3,300 years ago, in a newly built city in Egypt, a woman with an incredibly elaborate hairstyle of lengthy hair extensions was laid to rest. She was not mummified, her body simply being wrapped in a mat. When archaeologists uncovered her remains, they found she wore a very complex coiffure with approximately 70 extensions fastened in different layers and heights on the head. Researchers don't know her name, age, or occupation, but she is one of hundreds of people, including many others whose hairstyles are still intact, who were buried in a cemetery near an ancient city now called Amarna. Art. Akhenaten changed thousands of years of art in Egypt. Gone were the images of Amun and the other gods of Egypt, now replaced by Aten, the solar disk. When Akhenaten built his monuments with images of the pharaoh, he moved away from the traditions of a strong, handsome, muscular pharaoh. Images of pharaohs with idealized bodies were gone. The pharaoh was shown as misshapen, as was his wife Nefertiti. It became fashionable to show images of the entire royal family with elongated heads, faces, fingers, toes, wide hips. This gave the artists of Amarna new freedom to show scenes of the real life of the pharaoh, something that had never been done before. The temple was covered with scenes of the Aten, the sun disk with its rays shining down, ending in hands holding Ankh, the hieroglyph for life. The people wondered why the images of the other gods were not represented. Akhenaten was the first pharaoh to have images and paintings made of himself and his family, as they actually looked. Akhenaten as the Sphinx worshipping Aten. Religion. The priests worried about the god Amun and the fact that the rebel pharaoh had declared their god extinct and deserted the religious capital of Egypt. Gone were the royal offerings. The resources of Egypt were flowing out of the established cities of Egypt and into the desert. People who earned their livings based on the old religions, wood carvers, scarab makers, and others, were out of business. The people worried about their afterlife and what would happen now that they were not worshipping the traditional gods. All of the old belief systems into the next world were discarded. The vision of the afterlife changed. The city, in its finished state, Amarna, offered a theatrical setting for celebrating Akhenaten's kingship. The city sprawled for miles over the plain. There were elegant palaces, statues of the pharaoh, good housing throughout the city, a royal road that ran through the center of town, probably the widest street in the ancient world. It was designed for chariot processions, with Akhenaten leading the way. Spanning the road, a bridge connected the palace with the temple area. Akhenaten and Nefertiti appeared before the people on the balcony known as the Window of Appearances, tossing down gold ornaments and other gifts. The people. At its height, the city grew to more than 10,000 people, bureaucrats, artisans, boatmen, priests, traders, and their families. Though most were happy, many were not, especially those who did not like to stand in the open sun. Akhenaten worshippers spent lots of time in the sun. Akhenaten wanted everyone to be happy. He created a beautiful, idealistic religion and utopia for his people, but many just didn't understand it. Akhenaten was not living in the reality of his worshippers. Though he had found himself and his god, but the people were used to gods they could see, carved in stone with beautiful bodies, many with heads of animals. Akhenaten's god was too much of an abstraction. Aten was the basic principle of the universe, light. They also wondered why the sun god only shed its rays on the royal family and not everyone. According to present evidence, however, it appears that it was only the upper echelons of society which embraced the new religion with any fervor. Excavations at Amarna have indicated that even here the old way of religion continued among the ordinary people. On a wider scale, throughout Egypt, the new cult does not seem to have had much effect at a common level except, of course, in dismantling the priesthood and closing the temples, but then the ordinary populace had had little to do with the religious establishment anyway, except on the high days and holidays when the god statue would be carried in procession from the sanctuary outside the great temple walls. End times. Akhenaten lived in his dream in Amarna for 10 years as conditions grew worse in Egypt. He remained isolated from the true problems of the people. Akhenaten apparently neglected foreign policy, allowing Egypt's captured territories to be taken back, though it seems likely that this image can be partially explained by the iconography of the time, which downplayed his role as warrior. Nefertiti is depicted in her advanced years. She wears a long, white linen dress that allows the contours of her body to be seen. It has been speculated that this small statuette was the model for a life-size representation that was never executed. Arnold points out that, although she is past her prime, she is not old. While this may be true, the sagging features of the statuette do indicate that she is no longer the vivacious queen. In 1335 BC Nefertiti, Akhenaten's wife and companion, is said to have disappeared and most likely died. His mother Ty had also died, as did his minor wife, Kia. That combined with the loss of his daughter made Akhenaten feel alone and depressed. Nefertiti's disappearance coincided with the sudden appearance of a young man named Sminker. Sminker, who was given the same title, Neferneferuaten, as the now vanished Nefertiti, was crowned co-regent to Akhenaten when he, Sminker, was about 16. He was married to Akhenaten's eldest daughter, Meritaten. There is uncertainty about the relationship between Akhenaten and his successors, Sminker and Tutankhamun. The biggest mystery associated with Sminker was where he came from. It is possible that both he and Tutankhamun were Akhenaten's sons by another wife, possibly Kia, who was much loved of the pharaoh. As there was inbreeding to keep the line pure, we may never know the relationships within their family. It is also a matter of great controversy as to whether or not Sminker continued to reign after Akhenaten died. According to Dr. Donald Redford, a professor of Egyptology and the director of the Akhenaten Temple Project, Sminker may have succeeded Akhenaten by a short while, during which he made half-hearted attempts at going back to the old religion, something which probably wouldn't have happened while Akhenaten was alive. Another thing that suggests that he outlived Akhenaten are references to him made in certain tombs. He was also buried in the old capital. But here one has to consider the way Akhenaten behaved concerning those people who were known to be his children. Every one of his 6 daughters, whenever referred to in writings from the period, was repeatedly called the king's daughter, of his loins, daughter's name. In Egypt, as with any other kingdom of the ancient or not so ancient world, male heirs were much desired. If Akhenaten had a son, he almost certainly would have repeatedly said so. Cyril Aldard, a prominent Egyptologist who has written several books about Akhenaten, uses the argument that Sminker must have been born 3 years before Akhenaten's reign began, thereby reducing the likelihood of his being Akhenaten's child. Yet another possibility is that one of Akhenaten's many sisters was the mother of Sminker. Because Sminker appeared at the same time that Nefertiti seemingly vanished from view, and because he shared the title Beloved of Akhenaten with Nefertiti, some scholars believe that Nefertiti and Sminker were one and the same. Nefertiti did have more power than many of the other queens in Egypt, and is often depicted wearing certain crowns that were normally reserved for kings. Thus, it is perhaps not too out of line to think that she might have disguised herself as a man and shared kingship with Akhenaten. However, Redford notes that, for one thing, it would be odd even for the Amarna family to have Nefertiti posing as a man and marrying her own daughter. Not only that, but to deny the existence of Sminker, one would have to ignore one major finding, the body in tomb 55. Tutankhamun came to the throne when he was about 8 years old and became known as the Boy King by modern people. He became quite famous when his tomb was discovered by Howard Carter in the 1920s. Tutankhaten succeeded Akhenaten and Sminker and was married to Akhenaten's daughter Ankhesenpaten. The couple soon changed their names to Tutankhamun and Ankhesenamun, moved away from Akhetaten, and re-established the old religion. Tutankhaten reigned until he was about 18 when he died. Tutankhaten's origins are just as hazy as Sminker's. Some would claim that he was Kiya's son by Akhenaten. However, if Tutankhaten and Sminker were really brothers, as the bodies of the two suggest, then this would again bring up the question of the likelihood of Sminker being Akhenaten's son. One theory is that Tutankhaten was Akhenaten's brother. That would lead to the conclusion that both Sminker and Tutankhaten were sons of Queen Tai. They both bear a strong resemblance to certain portraits of Tai, but Tai may have been too old to have children by the time Tutankhaten was born. Another problem is that Amenhotep III was, in all probability, well dead by this time, although there is much speculation about a co-regency between Akhenaten and his father. One intriguing discovery is an inscription which calls Tutankhaten the king's son, of his loins. This could be interpreted in a number of ways. One is that Tutankhaten really was Akhenaten's child. However, this possibility has already been mostly ruled out. Another possibility is that Amenhotep III remained virile and active even in his last years and was able to father Tutankhaten just before he died, assuming that there was a co-regency. Yet a third possibility is that Tutankhaten was Sminker's son. If Sminker fathered Tutankhaten the same year that he married Meritaten, and then went on to outlive Akhenaten by about 3 years, then that would make Tutankhaten just barely 7 when he came to the throne of Egypt. Tutankhaten was thought to have come to the throne when he was 8 or 9. In 1332 BC Akhenaten died, the circumstances never explained. His memory and all that he had created soon to erased from history, not to be found for centuries later. The last dated appearance of Akhenaten and the Amarna family is in the tomb of Merer II, and dates from 2nd month, year 12 of his reign. After this the historical record is unclear, and only with the succession of Tutankhamun is somewhat clarified. Akhenaten planned to relocate Egyptian burials on the east side of the Nile, sunrise, rather than on the west side, sunset, in the royal wadi in Akhetaten. His body was removed after the court returned to Thebes, and recent genetic tests have confirmed that the body found buried in tomb KV55 was the father of Tutankhamun, and is therefore most probably Akhenaten, although this is disputed. The tomb contained numerous Amarna-era objects including a royal funerary mask which had been deliberately destroyed. His sarcophagus was destroyed but has since been reconstructed and now sits outside in the Cairo Museum. Although it is accepted that Akhenaten himself died in year 17 of his reign, the question of whether Sminker became co-regent perhaps 2 or 3 years earlier or enjoyed a brief independent reign is unclear. If Sminker outlived Akhenaten, and became sole pharaoh, he likely ruled Egypt for less than a year. Succession. Tutankhamun was believed to be a younger brother of Sminker and a son of Akhenaten, and possibly Kiya, although one scholar has suggested that Tutankhamun may have been a son of Sminker instead. DNA tests in 2010 indicated Tutankhamun was indeed the son of Akhenaten. It has been suggested that after the death of Akhenaten, Nefertiti reigned with the name of Neferneferuaten, but other scholars believe this female ruler was rather Meritaten. The so-called Korjenki Stela, found in a tomb in Amarna, possibly shows his queen Nefertiti as his Korjent, ruling alongside him, but this is not certain as the names have been removed and carved again to show Ankhesenpaten and Neferneferuaten. Neferneferuaten, a female pharaoh, reigned in Egypt for 2 years and 1 month. She was, in turn, probably succeeded by Tutankhaten, later, Tutankhamun, with the country being administered by the chief vizier generals I and Horemheb. Established the temples of Amun. They selected their priests from the military, enabling the pharaoh to keep tighter controls over the religious orders. But Akhenaten's followers at Amarna, unable to understand what their pharaoh had been preaching, abandoned the city, and returned to Thebes and the familiar gods with Tutankhamun as their king. Later pharaohs attempted to erase all memories of Akhenaten and his religion. Much of the distinctive art of the period was destroyed and the buildings dismantled to be reused. Many of the Talatat blocks from the Aten temples in Thebes were reused as rubble infill for later pylons, where they were rediscovered during restoration work and reassembled. Finally, Akhenaten, Neferneferuaten, Smenker, Tutankhamun, and I were removed from the official lists of pharaohs, which instead reported that Amenhotep III was immediately succeeded by Horemheb. This is thought to be part of an attempt by Horemheb to delete all trace of Atenism and the pharaohs associated with it from the historical record. Akhenaten's name never appeared on any of the king lists compiled by later pharaohs, and it was not until the late 19th century that his identity was rediscovered and the surviving traces of his reign were unearthed by archaeologists. Akhenaten's royal tomb in Amarna. In 1344 BC, the building of the royal tomb at Akhetaten began, completed while Akhenaten was pharaoh. It was very similar to a standard tomb found in the Valley of the Kings, a straightforward design of corridors and rooms along a single axis, but this tomb was to change with the addition of two more separate suites of rooms. Research at the royal tomb has given evidence that Akhenaten was allegedly buried in a pink granite sarcophagus, although both this and the remains of another sarcophagus found at the tomb were smashed to pieces and then scattered over some distance. However, enough of Akhenaten's sarcophagus has been recovered to reconstruct it. The corners had figures of Queen Nefertiti extending protective arms like the guardian of the four quarters. Royal tomb at Amarna, Akhenaten and Nefertiti grieve over daughter. Drawing of relief, N. Davies, The Rock Tombs of El Amarna, 1903-08. Tomb 55, in the Valley of the Kings. Of all the royal mummies ever discovered, none has ever caused more controversy than the one found in Tomb 55 of the Valley of the Kings. At the beginning of the 20th century, Theodore Davis, a wealthy American excavating in Egypt, discovered a tomb in which a burial from the Armenia period had been reinterred. This tomb was clearly unfinished, and the burial a hasty one. Gilded wooden inlay panels on the floor and against the wall. They bore the damaged image of Akhenaten worshipping the sun disk and the name of Queen Ti. In a niche were four beautiful alabaster jars that held the internal organs of the mummies. Lying on the floor was a badly damaged but beautiful coffin made with thousands of paste inlays and semi-precious stones in the shape of protective wings. The cartouches containing the occupant's name had been hacked out. When they opened the coffin, they found a mummy wrapped in gold leaf. But as they touched the mummy, it crumbled to dust, leaving the excavators with a pile of disarticulated bones at the bottom of the coffin. But beneath the skeleton, the last sheet of gold seemed to have the damaged name of Akhenaten written on it. The pelvis was wide like a female's. The head was elongated. What really became of Akhenaten's mummy still remains a mystery. Fragments of sculpture and carving from the royal tomb at Akhetaten shows that his body was originally put there, but no sign of the mummy remains. It is possible that followers of the Aten feared for its destruction, which would deny him eternal life, and moved the body to a place of safety. Akhenaten is perhaps unfairly not credited with being a particularly successful pharaoh. Records seem to indicate that he allowed Egyptian influence wane, but this may not be true. These ideas are based on the famous Amarna tablets found in Akhetaten, in many of which Egyptian vassal cities plead for assistance, but no replies are preserved. As there is no surviving record of Egyptian territory being lost at this time, it is possible that Akhenaten was merely skillfully playing one city against the other to achieve through diplomacy what would otherwise require military force. The Amarna tablets, letters. The El Amarna letters, a collection of correspondence between various states and Egypt, were found in the remains of the ancient city of Akhetaten, built by Akhenaten around 1370 BCE. Some of the documents belong to the time of Amenhotep III, while others are from the time of Akhenaten. They provide invaluable insight into the foreign affairs of several countries in the Late Bronze Age. The first Amarna tablets were found by local inhabitants in 1887. They form the majority of the corpus. Subsequent excavations at the site have yielded less than 50 out of the 382 itemized tablets and fragments which form the Amarna corpus known to date. The majority of the Amarna tablets are letters. These letters were sent to the Egyptian pharaohs Amenophis III and his son Akhenaten around the middle of the 14th century BC. The correspondents were kings of Babylonia, Assyria, Hatti, and Mitanni, minor kings and rulers of the Near East at that time, and vassals of the Egyptian Empire. Almost immediately following their discovery, the Amarna tablets were deciphered, studied, and published. Their importance as a major source for the knowledge of the history and politics of the ancient Near East during the 14th century BC was recognized. The tablets presented several difficulties to scholars. The Amarna tablets are written in Akkadian cuneiform script and present many features which are peculiar and unknown from any other Akkadian dialect. This was most evident in the letters sent from Canaan, which were written in a mixed language, Canaanite-Akkadian. The Amarna letters from Canaan have proved to be the most important source for the study of the Canaanite dialects in the pre-Israelite period.